As Gene said this morning, we're just a bunch of amateurs at this business. We're not trying to fool anybody here. We're certainly not ministers, and therefore you shouldn't expect us to have a lot of polish with this. We're just a bunch of businessmen, and we're just happy that we can be here. We're really thrilled to be able to stand up here or go any place and tell about this wonderful Savior that means so much to us. We know that He's filled our lives with power and with love and with things that we never dreamed of. And all we want is for other people to know about it, because we know He's got plenty to go around. He's got enough for everybody. There's always some area in my life that I can tell you about, and there's some area in your life that you can tell me about that's a tremendous blessing. So let's always be thrilled and happy every opportunity that we have to stand up for Jesus and to tell about the wonderful gift of God through Him for mankind, because it's truly a miracle of love and grace. Grace is the freely given, unmerited gift of God, the love and grace of our God. So we're just a bunch of businessmen. I'm a doctor. Most of you were here this morning, but some of you were not, probably. I'm a doctor. I operate on ears. So lend me your ear tonight. I'm not harming you. I'll give it to you and back to you undamaged, I hope. We have a couple of businessmen with us here tonight who deal in a different kind of business altogether. Jack Humphreys here is, most of you know him, perhaps some of you don't, that haven't been here before, but he's been, I understand, been here once or twice before.
It'd be real well.
And I don't know why you folks don't catch on, but he's back again. But Jack has a string of five and dime stores. If you ever drive through some town and see Jack's five and dime, that's his. And he deals in green stuff. Five and dime green stuff, you know. Won't let that five and dime fool you. Those are not pennies he's talking about. He's after more than that. And Bob Potter is a groceryman. He operates a supermarket in Oklahoma City. And you'd be pleased to know that he's taken the Lord Jesus Christ right straight into that supermarket. People know what kind of supermarket that is by several things. There's not everything that you can buy in that supermarket, but you can buy all you need. And he's very happy to do much more than that. He'll give you spiritual food as well as food for your physical beings. We are sort of exciting your imagination here tonight with an aid. All of us need crutches to go with, you know, and we particularly need them in presenting our thoughts to you. And so we have a crutch over here. This is a flannel board, and on it's a wheel. And so we would like to... Can you see this over here? Fine. We would like to present this wheel to you as symbolic of the Christian life. Because maybe in presenting it to you, you might find a few areas in your life that need dusting off a bit. And maybe the light will show in some dark areas in your life that need repairing. So as the light shines in your heart to meet your particular needs, let's be about repairing the damage in the corners that need repairing and not turning the light off. The wheel is the Christian life, then, as represented here. The hub is the center, Christ. Christ, the head of the church. Christ, the head of the body. Christ, the center of your life. Everything revolving about Him. On the periphery there, you see the edges of the wheel. That's the part that touches the ground. One of the most amazing facts in all history is the fact that God Himself came to this earth in the body of Jesus Christ. and that as he left, he said, "It's expedient that I go, but I send unto you something else, the Holy Spirit, my Holy Spirit, and it will dwell in you, and you will be the Christ on earth." Have you ever thought about that? You are Jesus Christ on earth. This is the only way that God has chosen to touch the ground of the earth today, through you. So the power of God works through you to roll the mighty wheels of the universe. This is the wheel we're going to present tonight. And it has spokes. You know, a wheel's lopsided when one of the spokes breaks down. Gets a little crooked, out of balance, and you need to do some things to it. And there are some spokes that come directly from the center to the periphery. They're very important for us to keep in alignment and to keep functioning. And so, therefore, we will talk about the spokes. See, Jack, are you first? Bob's going to speak to us first. So he will tell us about two of the spokes. Bob?
Thanks, Jack. Like you said, we had a few little aids here, so I'll begin with putting these two up here. Usually when I watch somebody do this on TV or anything, they usually fall off. Let's see what happens. First is the Word of God.
Right under the Word is prayer. And if you'll notice in this wheel of Christian living, as you see the Christian living the life, the outer rim, you see the vertical spokes are the Word and prayer. This is the intake, what we get from God. We have the blessed privilege of speaking to Him through prayer, and He answers us through His Word. So that's the two I'd like to deal on tonight. Just how important are they in our life, and is it necessary, and how do we appropriate them, and just how do we go about this business of applying these things to the Christian life? These have been such a tremendous help to me in my growth in the short time that I've been a Christian. And I thank the Lord that someone took time out and cared enough for me to stop and share some of these things with me. And so maybe tonight as we share them with you that you can receive a blessing. This is our prayer. And this is our aim tonight. This scripture here, 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And as we start to look into the Word of God, He wants us not to be ashamed, to be a real workman, to know what we're talking about, and to know, "Thus saith the Lord." So as we start the wheel of the Christian life rolling, we need first of all to consider that the foundation spoke is the Word of God, which does the all-important job of supplying us with. I'll just go into three different things tonight. First of all, it supplies our spiritual food. And then it supplies our weapons that we need in our spiritual life for victory over our chief enemy, which is Satan. And after this, it provides us life for our daily walk with the Lord as we draw closer to Him. The Word is God's chief method by which He contacts you and I as Christians. And at this brief time that we have tonight, I'll just be able to touch on this subject of the Word of God. It's so vast, so big. I've just begun to get into it myself, and like I said this morning, I'll use the same illustration again. It's like getting my toes in the ocean. Now I'm ready to get in for a swim. I want to know, what saith the Lord? Because He has it written down for us. This is God's revealed will for our lives as Christians. And as we stop to consider this miracle book that we have, God's Word here, it's just an amazing fact to see that we have 66 books here combined together, written by over 40 different authors. Think of that. 40 different authors over a period of 1,600 years, coming together with one theme, one subject, one main title, and we see from Genesis to Revelation, one theme by one clan and one master planner.
We see that God has put together the most miraculous book that has ever been known. Even the people that deny Jesus will admit that this book, there is something very different about it. It's alive and it's vital. The Apostle Peter said, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, as they were borne along by the Holy Spirit." This book was God-breathed. God breathed the very life into it. This book claims this for itself, all the way through, that it is inspired. The Apostle Paul, when he was leaving his dear friends at Ephesus, he left them, and he knew that he had never come back again. He left them with a very strong exhortation and a strong word. And he said, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified." He commended them first to God and then the word, that it might build him up. Something I've noticed already in the short time that I've been a Christian is the fact that things in the Christian life can be parallel to that in the physical life. You know, we need food to grow in the physical life, to nurture us, to give us energy, to give us strength, to give us power. And God's word claims this the same in his word. 1 Peter 2:2-3 says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word." Why? "That ye may grow thereby. If so be, then ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." You know, our parents, I have three boys, and when these little rascals were first born, we'd take them in a carriage, you know, and we'd maybe go out to the park once in a while with them, and we'd have them in the little carriage, one of them at a time. And I'm going to clarify that. And people would come along, you know, and they'd look in the cart, and they'd see that little rascal in there, and boy, they start saying how cute he is and everything, and boy, you know, you just kind of swell up your chest a little bit, and boy, that's great, you know, it makes you feel good because people look in this carriage and see a newborn babe. Now, this is really, it's thrilling to the parent, isn't it? You like to see people talk about your baby. I have a boy that's 14 years old now, and he's not a little rascal anymore. He's as big as I am. And I have to prove to him every night that I'm a little bigger than he is, see? But he comes in, and he's big now. All right, now suppose that we go out to the same park, and we take this same baby carriage, and here come these people around to look in the carriage, and they look in, and lo and behold, what do they see? They see a 14-year-old boy in this baby carriage. Well, this is kind of ridiculous, isn't it? It's nauseating. It wouldn't be glorifying to the parent, and it certainly would be humiliating to the child, and it would be very distasteful to the people that look in. Now, this is kind of a funny little illustration, but I believe we can use this in our life because God, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, he doesn't want us to stay spiritual babies. And when he looks at us, and we've been Christians maybe for 10, 15, 20 years, and we're still a babe, I believe this is very displeasing to him. It's not glorifying to God. He wants us to grow up in him, grow up in Christ. Paul had to say to the Corinthians, "And brethren, I cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." They didn't grow. And so God wants us to get in the book and grow, because this is his spiritual textbook for us. The psalmist said, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, and his leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Think of that. God promises to prosper us if we meditate in this book. Get saturated with the word of God and let it become a part of our life. Jesus said, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book." Did you know that we can know God like a book? We can know him like this book, because we can know him better than we can know our husbands, our wives, our children, our mother and father, because he's more personal. He dwells within my heart, and I can know him through this book. Every page in this book is saturated with Jesus Christ. You know, someone has said one time that I just can't understand the Bible. Oh, I just can't understand it. Have you ever heard anybody say this? Have you ever said it? I have. I said that. I heard about a girl one time that read a book
She loved to read, but she read this book, and she said, you know, this book I just finished reading was the most dull thing that I have ever read in my life. I wouldn't recommend anybody to read it. So she set it on the shelf in the library. About 6 months later, she met a young man, and boy, she fell head over heels in love with this guy, you know? And so one evening they were sitting in the parlor and talking about this and that and the other, you know, and she says, all of a sudden she got a real bright look on her face. She says, say, you know, says, I have a book in my library that the author's name is the same last name as yours. And she says, you know, his initials are even the same as yours. Isn't that a coincidence? The old boy looked at her and he says, nah. So that's no coincidence. She said, well, what do you mean? He said, I wrote the book. Let me tell you what that girl did that night. She went back home that night, and she reread that book till 3 o'clock in the morning. Every page, every line, every letter in that book became alive, and it became real to her. Why? Why, she was in love with the author. She was in love with the author. And Jesus Christ, as we fall in love with him, this is his love letter to us. He takes care of the understanding. The word is quick, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. As I mentioned at the beginning, it's our weapon for our spiritual warfare. And believe you me, if you're a Christian, you're in warfare. And if you're not, there's something wrong. Because when you start to get down to business for the Lord, listen, you got some little fellas coming around giving you a bad time. The Bible teaches us that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood or against princes, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And the Apostle Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion, walking around, looking around, just find somebody that he can gobble up. And he really looks around to try to keep you from getting into God's Word. Our blessed Lord himself saw the effectiveness of God's Word. He knew what it was. And when he was in the wilderness, being tempted of the devil, he quoted Scripture 3 times. God promises to use his word. And Isaiah says, so shall my words be that goeth forth out of my mouth. They shall not return to me void, but they shall accomplish that which I please. As we're in a spiritual battle, we use his word to accomplish his purpose in the thing whereto he sent, beginning with me first. And Jesus quoted Scripture 3 times to the devil. And he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And the 3rd time, in the 11th verse of the 4th chapter of Matthew, it says, the devil leaveth him. And I'll guarantee you one thing, that Satan left him, and he went back and he called a powwow of his little lieutenants. And he called them all around together, and he says, this is what happened. He says, you can let these Christians do anything they want to. You let them get active in a church. You let them work on committees. You let them do anything that you want to. But you keep them out of this book. Whatever you do, because I just took the worst defeat of my career at the hands of Jesus Christ, quoting Scripture. And God promises to honor his word. In Romans 15:4, we find that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and the comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. God left all of these things for our admonition, for our learning, for our study to see. Well, quickly now we move on to see how it supplies the light for our life. I'll give you 3 scriptures here that if you have pencil and paper, I'd like for you to write them down. They're very self-explanatory. And sometime when you can get alone with the Lord and just think through some of these scriptures and see what God has to say about the light for our path. How we walk this life with him. The first one is found in Psalms 119:105. Probably most of you know this scripture by heart. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I noticed some of you quoting with me as I read it there. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And dear friends, tonight, if there is a person here that's outside of Jesus Christ, he is in spiritual darkness. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Why? Lest the light of this glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into their lives. And Satan will do anything in the world to get your eyes off of Jesus Christ to keep you from growing in the grace of his knowledge. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that word said all. You remember this morning I couldn't get around the all? Well, here it is again. Everywhere I go, it's all. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be thoroughly furnished throughout unto all good works. Here we have our roadmap for the Christian life. First of all, our doctrine, our way of life, for reproof, that shows us when we get off the track, for correction, it shows us how to get back up on, and instruction in righteousness, it shows us how to stay there after we get back up. Everything we need for the Christian life. In 2 Peter 1, 3, 4, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things necessary for the Christian life. All things that we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of his very own nature. We can become like Christ as we spend time with him. We can see how important God's word is to our very life itself. To grow, it's our life's food, our weapons for the spiritual life. If you're not having a consistent time daily with God's word, and we need to be honest with ourselves tonight and ask ourselves this question: do I spend time daily in God's word for growth, for food? We could even make it more pointed. Have I spent time today with him? How about yesterday and the day before? We see that this is one of the most important things to the Christian's life, and without it, we can starve spiritually. Remain as babes. And remember at the first, I say that it wouldn't have been glorifying to God to look in and see us as spiritual babes. And right underneath this spoke, or right above it rather, is the spoke of prayer. This is the vital means by which we are kept in touch with Christ himself. It is through prayer that we prove our utter dependence upon and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I won't spend a lot of time on this tonight, but first of all, I'd like to tell you a few things that have been a real blessing to me. First of all, just what is prayer? You know, one of the most amazing facts in my Christian life is the fact that God desires to have fellowship with me, that I can come to him and talk to him in prayer. It's amazing enough that he'll even let me. But to think that he desires it and wants it and longs for it is more than I can even imagine. So I don't try. I just thank him for it and praise his name that he does. What is prayer? Prayer is just intelligent conversation with our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Why do we pray? Well, we pray for our sakes, not for his. We pray for our own benefit. And when we pray and ask God for something specifically, and then when the answer comes, believe you me, we know where it came from, don't we? If we get these things, sure, the Heavenly Father knows what we need, have need of before we ask. But we ask so that when the answer comes, we know who gave it. And then he gets the glory and not us. How do we pray? Well, someone has said that a person, though he have all knowledge about prayer, he know all the mechanics about it, the why and the wherefore and everything, unless he prays, he'll never learn how to pray. You remember when the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Not how to pray. He said, Lord, teach us to pray. And I think that's what we need to do in our Christian life, is just get down to business and pray and spend time with him. You know, I don't know how it is in your life, but this is one of the hardest things for me to do, is just to take time to spend in close fellowship with him. When should we pray? Well, Jesus said that men should always pray and faint not. The Apostle Paul said to pray without ceasing, be in a continual attitude of prayer, spending time with him. What a wonderful privilege that we have, no matter who we are, what status of life we are, what our occupation is, where we live, what's the color of our skin. We have this blessed privilege of coming into the very presence of God Himself, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, boldly and present our petitions to Him. This is a real wonderful privilege. Prayer is the most powerful force on earth. And I think a lot of times we treat it as the most lightly. After everything else, I saw a motto one time on a fellow's above his desk. It says, why pray when you can worry? Why pray when you can worry? And a lot of times our lives bear this out, doesn't it? After everything else fails, we finally realize to come to Christ and pray and ask Him. I think tonight, as we consider that Jesus Christ Himself spent entire nights praying, I could ask this question tonight, it'd be kind of embarrassing. Of how long has it been since we spent an entire night in prayer, talking to God? I doubt if very many of us, if any, could say yes to this. So I won't ask that question. I could say this, well, how long has it been since we spent a complete hour in prayer with Christ? And give you time to answer this in your own life. What part does prayer really play in your life? Does it mean something to you? Is it alive? Do you feel refreshed after you spend time with Jesus Christ Himself in prayer? How long has it been since you spent 10 minutes in prayer with Him? I'm not talking about when we come to bed at night and we say, thank you, Lord, for the day, and hop in bed. I'm talking about the time that we spend in earnest prayer for our friends that we love and want to come to know Christ. Our own spiritual life. I challenge you tonight. Spend time in His Word. Get to know Him personally, like a book. And then spend time in prayer and see it change your life.